取られて、全部曲だよ。ちょっと、It's on my way. Just like that. Just like that.
Father, we're just grateful, Lord, for this evening. Father, we're grateful, Lord God, for this time. Father, we're grateful, Lord God, for this place which you've allowed us to come to just meet together in Jesus' name. And Lord, right now, Father, we just bind every demonic spirit, every work of the enemy, Lord, and we do cast it out and take authority over it. And Lord, we call every work of the devil null and void in this place. And Lord, we pray, Father, right now, just for the free flow of your Holy Spirit in this time. Lord, we pray, Father, every care, every concern, Lord, every imagination that exalts itself against the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Lord, we just break all of those things, Father, every care and concern. We leave it at your feet. And Lord, we pray, Father God, that you would just have your will in your way, Father, that every word that's spoken would be laced by your Spirit, Father, empowered by your Spirit, knowing the hearts and the needs of every person that hears. And Lord, we pray, Father God, Lord, I just acknowledge openly again, Father, just that there's nothing good in me but your Spirit. And so to your Spirit I yield now and all through life, Father. And pray, Father, as we go forward, Lord, that we go forward in your power and in your strength. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay. Psalm 149. We still have some to finish. So, in the series, Psalm 149, we start there. I love this new Bible. Thank you, Barbara. Okay, Psalm 149. Praise ye the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise in the congregation of saints. Let Israel rejoice in him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Let them praise his name in the dance. Let them sing praises unto him with tremble and harp. For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth, and a two-edged sword in their hand, to execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishment upon the people, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgment written. This honor have all his saints. Praise ye the Lord. Okay. Excuse me. All right. We have been in a series. Now, the title of the series has been The Joy of the Saints. Now, does this sound like... See, there's a certain label that we need to dispense with labels and kind of dig a little bit deeper. There's a certain label that people go with when they talk about Christian. When somebody says the word Christian, what does that mean? You know, if somebody's like, oh, you know, in fact, the world consistently looks for labels because it looks for ways to be able to define something, anything. So, you know, are you, excuse me, are you, you know, people want to know where somebody's from as far as location. People want to know what their association is, what their affiliation is. And by and large, when people talk about, now the word Christian is supposed to mean Christ-like one, little Christ, someone anointed in the order of Christ. When the early church was called Christians, they were called Christians because in Antioch, when people were there, they saw these people and they were like, wow, these people are just like Christ. So they started calling them like, you know, they're like little Christs running around. Now, when somebody is like Christ, they were given that name. I wonder if it was almost even derogatory in the way that they were trying to refer to them as that. You know, initially, it's like, you know, oh, you're just like that. Because it's not like these guys were accepting them. You know, I mean, a lot of times when somebody has a problem with someone, they'll give them an external name. But, you know, subsequently, I mean, see, the same thing too, like even like with the crucifix. You know, that was an implement of capital punishment. It was the worst kind of capital punishment that they had. That was not a piece of fashion jewelry. You know, but what happened is like as time's gone on, is that, you know, the world has, see, if you can't, you know, there's that old statement, if you can't beat them, join them. But, you know, in the way of the world, see, the world can't beat Christ, but it doesn't want to join him either. So what it's tried to do is it's tried to say, okay, well, we can't beat him. So what we will do is we will create our own, we will create God in our own image, but try to grab that label. And so, by and large, what you end up having is most of what is titled Christian, most of what is titled that, is not necessarily that. And what Jesus said is, look, you know a tree by its fruit. He said, don't fall for the labels, because if you fall for the labels, if you just accept things at face value, you're going to miss it. Because really what you're looking for is that which is in the realm of spirit, that which is behind the scenes. Because what's behind the scenes is really the motivation and the heart behind why somebody does something. So, maybe turn it on. But if you look at what's behind the scenes, where the motivation and the heart of something is coming from, that's in the end what is the real thing. See, that's why when Jesus was talking about it too, and he said, look, if you lust for someone in your heart, you know, it's like you've already done it. Why? Because the realm of the spirit is what's real. That which is natural is a manifestation of it, but you can have somebody that, you know, to your face is like, oh, how are you doing? But in their heart, they would love to kill you. Well, in their heart, that's the real them. Just even though they haven't manifested it in the natural, the real them is a murderer. The real them is a killer. Likewise, you can have somebody that has a heart of gold, but maybe has certain tendencies or certain things that their inclinations are, or that is really a child of God, but caught in certain patterns. And in a case like that, that is not the real person. The real person is in the realm of the spirit, and the real person, God has that person's heart. Now, but that person is completely ineffective and completely compromised and stuck, even though God loves them and that person is one of his. So, never fall for the labels. Because ultimately what a true follower of Christ, see, the word Christian has been so muddled. In an ideal situation, a Christian would be a follower of Christ. Not somebody that has just a label or is, you know, goes to some place on a Sunday. But they are a disciple of Christ. There's somebody that's like, okay, I want the real deal, and they're walking with him. Now, when you read through Psalm 149, does this sound like what you find on a typical Sunday? You know, or Saturday if you're an Adventist. I mean, it's like, does this sound like anything that you find in those, in the structural by and large? That they sing unto the Lord, that his praises in the congregation, that the people are joyful in their King. Verse 3, let them praise his name in the dance, let them sing praises unto him with the tremble and harp. For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people, he will beautify the meek with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory, let them sing aloud upon their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth, and a two-edged sword in their hand, to execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishment upon the people, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgment written. This is honor have all his saints, praise ye the Lord. This doesn't sound like what you see. So what is it that you see? What is it that's manifest by and large? Well, what's manifest by and large has been a hijacking of that. So rather than, it's been a hijacking of what truth is. See, okay, if you were running think of it, put yourself in the devil's side. All right, you've been defeated at the cross. now you've lost. You don't have a snowball's chance in hell of winning this thing, and you know it. So you know that you've been defeated, that everything, and that Jesus Christ just took the payment for sin. He became the propitiation for sin for all that believe in Him, all that are called according to His name. That you can't touch them if you're the devil, and that they now belong to Him. What now do you do as a good bad devil? I mean, what now do you do? How now can you? Because you can't. You're stuck because you've been beaten. You're stuck because all authority on heaven and on earth has been given unto them. They've been given that authority over you, over all of your minions, over all of your powers, principalities, spiritual wickedness, high places. Everything that you've got cannot stand up against one of them. That exercises that a power. That walks in the authority that God has given them. That knows who they are. So now what do you do? Well, okay, you can't beat them mano a mano. So what you have to do is you then now have to go whatever other way that you can. So what is it that the devil does? Well, one is he works to infiltrate. So anytime where you have two or three gathered together in Jesus' name and he's there among them, well, you try to add a fourth or a fifth one in there of your own that try to get in there, that try to bring in wheat and tares. You try to get your own people inside that mix so that what they can do is that they can sow in some sort of discord, sow in some kind of false doctrine, false teaching, and or sow to somebody's pride that's in that thing. Try do whatever you can to keep people off the track, which would result in them walking in power, in the authority of Christ Jesus, that would result in them being able to do whatever it is God called them to do. Because when these people are walking with Him, they destroy all of your handiwork. They destroy the works of the darkness. Because Jesus, for this reason, the Son of God was manifest to destroy the works of the devil. 1 John 3, verse 8. So Jesus Christ was manifest to destroy the works of the devil. And he's done it. And now these guys walk in that line. They're destroying everything that you have. So the purpose now is like, okay, so what will he do? Well, he will create the biggest Christian churches possible. The slickest marketing and public relations, commercialization, as everything that you can in order to be able to, if somebody has any inclination in them that isn't for truth and following Christ, so they will have a form of godliness that denies the power thereof. And you tap into that. And then what do? Well, now the people that are the real ones, you've got to do everything that you can to keep them out, to push them to the side, to marginalize them, to steal from them, to not allow them to walk in that line, or if they are in that line, to keep them from being of any place, position, ability, just like in Jesus' time. So this is the way that the world works. See, sometimes you have to think, put your mind on the other side for a second and say, okay, if you were on that side, because we're not, and I think I very rarely have I ever allowed myself to even think like that, but if you were on their side, what would you do? Because you're beaten. I mean, on the flat fact of the matter is that you just got your ass whipped, and it's eternally whipped, and it's, so it's like for them that's where they are, and it's like, oh shoot, okay, we just got beat. Because actually it says in Scripture, if they knew what would have been the result of Jesus Christ going to the cross, they would have done everything to avoid the crucifixion. They would have done everything. The devil would have choked Pilate himself if he could have, if he knew the ramifications of what was going to really go on. He didn't, but God allowed for all of that, because in the process of that whole thing happening, God's judgment was satisfied in Christ Jesus. The price that needed to be paid for us to be able to be restored to a holy God was done in the cross. So now, if you're the devil, you're screwed. Because now it's just like, well, it's just a matter of time. And you've already been beaten. Because when you read the word, when you see the scriptures, it's just this whole thing's being played out. So now in the process of it being played out, now it's like, okay, well, they're trying to make the best of a bad situation. So what do they do? Their whole thing is, well, let's take as many of these as we can to hell with us, because they're created in the image and the likeness of God. And this is kind of like, it's kind of like if you had, there was like, it's like there's some really big, strong, tough person that somebody's got a problem with. Well, they can't take it out on that person. But that guy's got some tiny little friend that lives, you know, five doors down. Well, then they go take it out on that tiny little friend, because, you know, it's like, well, that's one way to try to get back at this person. But see, even now the tiny little friend has the power of that big tough friend that lives five doors down, if he just realizes it, if he just walks in that. So even now they can't even stand up to that one. But there's a game that's on for the mind, for the thoughts, for the heart. And it involves your exercise of your free will. It involves the exercise of your ability to think and to choose, because that's something that's God-given. See, God didn't take that away, ever. We have the ability to choose, to make decisions, to make choice. God's given us that. And we can choose life. We can choose death. We can choose to walk with Him. We can choose to reject Him. I mean, that's what's amazing, is that in the middle of all of this, that mankind has been given that. Okay. So now, one thing that happens is those that walk with Him, that truly walk with Him, He takes them through a process. This is something that we see. You see, this is why it's so nice that we have the scriptures. Because when you read the scriptures, you realize, wow, this has been done before. You're not the first one to walk this line. You're not the first one to go down this road. You know, there have been others that have come before you that today are part of the great cloud of witnesses. And they've gone through the same trials, the same heartaches, the same difficulties, the same struggles. they've gone through all ranges of society, all ranges of human experience they've had. And in the process, when God called them and when they responded to the call, He then took them through a process of being separated unto Himself. And then when they were separated unto Himself, then He took them through a process of preparation for that which was to come. And some people He took some time with, other people He did it quicker. But all of them, it's like, you know, until somebody gets to the point that they will, if you, okay, a friend of mine is a pastor in the States, he said, if you fail to learn the lessons from your past, you're destined to repeat them. So likewise with God, it's like if you fail to learn or to go through certain, you know, 101, 102, 102, it's like 201, 202, like if you fail to go through certain steps of things that He wants to do with you, He will just leave you in that situation until it settles in and hits home. So likewise for the children of Israel, when God wanted to take them into the promised land, it didn't take very long to get out of Egypt unto the back door of Canaan. But because they failed to get the simple lesson, which was, look, I just brought you out of Egypt. I just took you out with a mighty hand. I just pulled you out of the grasp of Pharaoh, who you couldn't have stood against ever. I took you through the Red Sea. In the process of getting you out of there, all these plagues, everything that happened, and I made a distinction between you and him, and you and the people of Egypt. I brought you out. I brought you through the Red Sea. I closed it up behind you so that those who were pursuing after you got knocked out. You're in the desert. I gave you food. I gave you water. I showed you that I had the power to take care of you. And now you get to the back door of that which I want to do for you. And in the process, and then you're like, and then you believe the bad report that comes back. You believe ultimately the voice of man looking at his natural situation over the voice of God. And which the voice of God, Joshua and Caleb, got it. But these, the other ten that were there, they polluted that, and people were looking to a man. This is not a place for a democratic decision. 10 votes to 2. This is not the place for a democrat. This is not a democracy. We don't live in a democracy. People that are part of the kingdom of God do not live in a democracy. What we live in is a place where we get our message from the head, which is Christ Jesus. There is no vote. We listen, we hear, we obey, and we walk in that. If you fail to do that, then you basically, you're stuck right there. And God will be merciful to whom He has mercy. Sometimes He just may say, all right, forget it, I'm done with you. And leave people there. So the children of Israel, in their situation, what He did was He said, you don't want it? Fine. I'm going to give it to the next generation. And then the moment that they realize what they've done, they're like, oh, shoot. And they're like, no, we'll go. It's like, nope, too late, gone. And they went in, they tried to attack, and they just got knocked out. And God said, you're done. Now you want to try to do it in your own strength, your own ability. You can't. The only way you would have ever done this is because I was leading you in. I was taking you in. I was the one going ahead of you. My glory was your rear guard. That's the way that you got to this point in the first place. But the fact that you don't believe me, well, here's where I'm going to put you now. You're going to have to go into the desert and you're going to have to learn this. And He put them in there for 40 years until that entire generation was wiped out except for Joshua and Caleb. And those were the only two that believed God, counted it as righteousness. They believed God. They went into the promised land with the next generation. That next generation that went in, they then went into that which God had intended for them. So it's like, if God's got to move on, He'll move on. He gives us the option, the opportunity, to be part of what He's doing. He's not twisting your hand. He's giving that option to you. He's giving that option to me. He's giving us the chance to be part of what He's doing. So He's like, look, I'm giving you this. If you want this, I came that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. So He's giving that option to us. But we have to be the ones to take that and receive that and go with God in that. And in that process, a huge part of it is us being taken to the very end of what we can do in the natural. If we could do it in our own strength, then He wouldn't have to be miraculous. God's not glorified in you being able to do it in your own strength, in you being able to do it in your own resources, to be able to do it in your own thinking. God is glorified when you are put in the situation where there is no other option but to trust Him. And you followed Him into that. You followed Him into that situation. And then being put in that situation with no other option but to trust Him. And you do trust Him. And then at that point, in that place, He shows Himself strong. And that He shows Himself able to deliver and lead His people out and through. Then we see, oh, wow. That's what He can do, is able to do. He's Lord over all of this. And we glorify Him yet again. Now, the world works very hard to keep you from even getting to the point where you are in the position to even be able to see Him work like that. Because see, also what happens is God works through you. God works through me. And see, His Spirit now dwells in us because we are the temple of the living God. So, us being the temple of the living God, now the power of God lives and resides in you and in I. See, when the Spirit of God when you are quickened in your spirit, when the Spirit of God, when He calls you and you receive that gift of eternal life that comes in Christ Jesus, and your spirit is alive in you, all of a sudden now, it's like being plugged into the socket over there. You know, you just got plugged into life, and now that life of God, the spirit that's in you, is alive. You were dead before, now you have crossed over from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, like Acts 26 talks about. So the spirit's alive. You've been plugged into life. And there's an amazing thing that happens in being one of His. So now, what happens? So now, that which happens in the realm of spirit is real. That which happens in the world of the natural is not. The natural realm is an extension, but it is an illusion. That which happens in the realm of spirit is what's real and true. That which you can see, touch, feel in the natural realm is counts for nothing. So, in this realm of the Spirit, what is seen now is, wow, this person is now plugged in. This person now belongs to Him. This person now has the life of God in them, flowing through them. Now, again, back to John 15, He's the vine, we're the branches. Actually, let's go there really quick. Keep your finger in Psalms, but we'll come back. But John 15. Okay. John 15 says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. Okay, so Jesus' whole thing is like, look, remain in me, and let my words remain in you. So now when somebody's in Christ Jesus, they're alive, because now they're connected to the source of life. Jesus Christ, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. Jesus Christ was with God in the beginning. Jesus is life. God is life. There's no life apart from Him. So now you are connected to life. You're in Him. He's in you. The Word remains in you. Now all of a sudden there is life and light flowing through you. You don't have to conjure something up. You don't have to make something happen. You don't have to work something. It's just there. I mean, like... when you have the light that comes from the sun, it's just coming from the sun. You don't have to rev something up. You don't have to make something happen. It's just producing, and it's just doing what it does. Whereas, like, if you're trying to get some kind of, if you want to, like, the difference between that and, like, revving up something to make something happen, but it's not self-producing. It's not self-sustaining. God is the source of life. So when somebody's connected to Him, now they're connected to the source of life. Now in the realm of spirit, you're seen for being connected. Because all of a sudden now that light switch is turned on. And now there's something burning bright in you that's not in the person next to you. Because the person next to you is not in connection with the Father. It's not walking in that. Whereas you are. So those that are on the side of the world... they see you, and they see the person next to you, and when they see you, they say, oh wow, this person is connected to life and light. And they see the person next to you, they're not that interested in the person next to you, but what they are interested in is what God is doing in you. But also, because you are on the side that you're on and they're on the side that they're on, it's not like they want to be friends. They may say that they want to be friends on the surface, but the whole purpose is because behind that, in their mind, they're like, I really want to kill you. You know, I really want to suck you dry. I really want to take whatever energy, whatever power, whatever gifts God has given to you, and I want to take them away. Now, okay, back to Psalms 149. In Psalm 149, the case here is, let the saints be joyful in glory, let them, verse 5, let them sing aloud upon their beds, let the high praises of God be in their mouth, and a two-edged sword in their hand, to execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishments upon the people, to bind their kings with chains, and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgment written. This honor hath all his saints. Praise ye the Lord. The word there, all his saints. So every single saint has this honor. Every single saint has power and authority over the highest kings and nobles of this world. We've been given that because they're all part and parcel of the world system, which is far below what God has called us to. The very best that they have is far below what God has called us to. Is far below, like somebody cleaning the toilets that walks with Jesus, is far above their most elite, most spit-polished person that they've got. They know that. See, that's the thing too. They know that. The ones on the top levels, not those middle-level people that still live in delusion. The ones on the very top levels of their system know and understand that the busboy and the waiter that walks with Christ Jesus walks in power and authority that can destroy everything that they are in a given moment of time if they just click into that gear, and has authority over them and all of what they're doing. Now, God allows the wicked to run for a season. He lets them go down a particular line so that they can fill up their cup to the full before they drink it down. And that's a lot of what's been going on for these last few years, is he's been letting the wicked run a particular line before that which he's about to do. But on the side of the righteous, on the side of those that are God's, what's the game? What's going on their side, and what is it that we should be doing? See, one thing that happens with us is that now that your spirit is clicked into the right line, you still have other aspects of who you are. There's your soul, and there is your flesh, your body. And so what happens is, because your spirit is in line with the Father, now there's a war on to access that life that God has put in you, and the power that God has put in you, to access that power through your soul and through your flesh. Does that make sense? So there is a war that's been put on, and there's a war to access the power of God in you, to steal, to usurp, to try to drain it off of you. Because, see, there's no life in them. They're dead. What they are is they're branches that have been broken off, thrown away, drying up on the side of the road. There's nothing in them. There's no power in them. The devil cannot create anything. The only thing that the devil can do is manipulate and twist that which God has already put there. But he can't create. He's impotent. He shoots blanks. There's nothing there with him. So with him, what he does is he tries to then take that which God has created and twist it and turn it. But even the only way he can do that is by the free will of man giving itself over to the lie that he spins, so then he can take that and twist it and work it and make it do something for his own purpose. But his goal in all of that is to get the free will of man to buy into his system and forfeit his soul for the purpose of something within his system and his illusion. So he'll give them a few beads for all of their land. I mean, it's like that's his trade-off that he tries to do. Now, for those that aren't his, as far as those that haven't given themselves over to the world system, for those that are on the side of God's, See, that's where the power is. See, those that have given themselves over to the world, there's no power left in them. They're dead. They're twice dead. And they're part of that whole deteriorating, falling down system. How many kingdoms of this world have come and gone? Just look through the history books. Even the doctored ones. Even the doctored ones. How many world kingdoms have been here, have been just completely destroyed, and are gone now? In all of their might, all of their power, all of their resources, all of their positioning, all of their hoarding unto themselves, every single one of them is nothing but dust in the books of history. And even those, it's like, can be rewritten, so they'll be forgotten. And likewise, even the state, all of the stuff that's done, that's at enmity with God, none of it lasts. How many great men through history in their generation, in their time, are their names forgotten already? Even the biggest and the brightest of them is like, you know, in their system is maybe a paragraph in some dusty chronicle somewhere in the Library of Congress, which nobody ever reads except like two or three historians that maybe come in there once in a blue moon looking for something else. So they're forgotten. But in their system, there's no power in them. That which they do is gone. It just gets wiped out in just time. Because everything in the world decays, rots, and dies with time. Whereas the people of God, there's life in us. We're being renewed day by day. There's the Spirit of God, there's a life that flows through us. So now, but when they see us, when you're seen in the realm of spirit, what happens is now there's a game on for you. There's a game on for me. And the game is to say, okay, there's a power of God that's in you. And that power, there's a couple things. One, there's a danger to their system. If that power is allowed to operate in you, it can destroy their whole thing, wherever they are. It can just wreck whatever they're doing. And they know that. So they, one, they don't want to allow that charge to build up and blow up in you of what's going on with you. The second thing is that there is power in you. Exactly. And if they can find a way to siphon that power off, they can then run their whole thing off of you. So, now the goal is, how do I access this person? That's the game now. The game now is, how do I access this person? Because the joy of the saints, one thing that's verse 9 here, to execute upon them the judgment written, this honor of all his saints, praise you the Lord. This is the honor that the saints have. Yet why are they not doing this? Yet why isn't this not happening? Well, because even though you have this right, even though you have this entitlement as a child of God, as somebody that walks with him, that the power of God is living in you, if you are not in a spot where the Father can do this through you, it's not happening with you. You see what I'm saying? So it's like, so you can be, okay, like, you remember like my truck, I had that battery thing, battery problem, but okay, I have my truck, and though it's being charged, while, you know, I had a battery issue with my truck a while back, though the battery was being charged while I was running, there was also some wiring that was screwy and some other things that were not quite right in there. And so when it was being drained. So though it was being charged from one side, that energy was being bled out of it on the other side. And so when it comes time to start it, all of a sudden it's like, grr, grr. It's like, why? Because the alternator's working, it's charging, all those things are good. But the reverse side of that is, there's also things that are draining out the power that is supposed to be there. So there's nothing wrong with the connection. What's wrong is on the other side, it's being bled out the back door. It's being bled out from a place that somebody didn't realize where it's going from. And so you have to, so in a situation like that, you need to find where the leaks are. You need to find where that which is draining from this is. And then when you find those, then you have to deal with them. Now, one thing about it, you know, there's a message that we put up on Faith Mix sometime back. It's in the sermon section. And the message was called Spiritual Alignment. And it's a message, it's about a year old. But this one we'd given a while back, and this kind of plays into that one too. Spirit, soul, flesh. Different aspects of who you are. God wants for you to have all three of those in alignment with Him. See, and He wants those not just to be in alignment, but to be locked in alignment with Him. See, there is, and I'm starting to see this, and it's a really cool message. It's like that God's just done, He's working with me on this. I've seen some other stuff people are saying, so it's something He's speaking to His body right now. But there is something right now where God is speaking to His church, which is, look, bring your spirit, bring your soul, bring your flesh into alignment with my kingdom, with my word, with me, and lock it in that position and in that place. Because when you do, what happens is now, there's a few things that have happened. You become undrainable. You're locked in position, and now you become undrainable to the world. The world has no access to you. And you are able to burn bright because the power of God is flowing into and through you through that spiritual alignment that's taking place in you. See, what happens is when you're in that alignment in your spirit, in your soul, in your flesh, what happens is now the power of God is flowing into and flowing through you. And what happens, see, God then takes you as you're a vessel that's sanctified unto His honor and His glory. And then He takes you and He pours you out where He wants to. There's a difference between being poured out by Him and being bled dry by them. Big difference. So there's a, I'll say it again, there's a difference between being poured out by Him and being bled dry by them. They bleed you dry for the purpose, they bleed you dry for the purpose of powering their system versus the hey, welcome, welcome, come, come. So, welcome. Okay, part four, ongoing series. Okay, so there's a difference between, just a statement I just made, there's a difference between being poured out by Him versus being bled dry by them. Both of them have to do with the power of God that's in you as you have been plugged into Him. John 15, remain in Him, His words remain in you, now you're connected to the source of life. Okay.
What happens to most people is like, because a certain time period is there, alignment is right, but after a while it's like the duration kind of...
Exactly. See, here's what happens with a lot of saints, and this is also why the system of religion is there and is so twisted, it's so bad. Because, see, what happens is that you come into alignment with Christ when your spirit is in connection with Him. But the way that that power can be accessed by them is through when your flesh is out of alignment, or when your soul is out of alignment with God. See, when your soul is out of alignment with God, when your mind, when you're thinking, remember God said, He said, look, as high as the heavens are above the earth, so are my ways above your ways, and my thoughts above your thoughts. But also in the New Testament, we've been instructed, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. So we need a new mind, we need a new heart. But God makes that mind known to you through the ministry of His Holy Spirit, who brings you into remembrance. He brings you into a remembrance of who you are in eternity. And He brings all the things in the Word into your remembrance as you read it, and it's just He brings it all back to you. So what happens is there's a battle for your mind. So when your mind is out of alignment with your spirit in connection with the Father, so your mind is somewhere else, you have soulful, worldly thinking, they access the power of God in you through that. It's like they drain it from you like that. It's like siphoning. It's like siphoning petrol out of a car. And you do know it's happening, though. You know it's happening because you're tired. You know it's happening because you're just like, what the heck? I woke up in the morning and I'm tired. How is that possible? I went to bed, I got a full night's rest, and I get up in the morning, I'm just like, what the heck happened to me? You feel more tired getting up out of bed in the morning than you did when you went to sleep. Now, why is that happening? Well, a part of it is because they've found access points into your spirit through, one, your flesh, and also to your soul, your spirit. Not your spirit. But your soul or your flesh. So, what do? You have to lock your soul and your flesh in line with your spirit, in alignment with the kingdom of God. See, what God is... See, this is why, too, when Jesus was calling for disciples... when he was putting the challenge down, because there's a lot of people that showed up. Everybody wanted to be around the miracles, and people wanted to be around because there's a place to get food, and all of that. But in the end, when it came down to it, when he was giving out the message of truth, when he was starting to weed through the people, everybody ran off of John chapter 6. John 6:6-6. Yeah, let's look at that one. Oh, that's always interesting. Yeah. Ooh, spooky, spooky. Okay, John chapter 6 and verse 60. Well, actually, let's go verse 62, and then we'll read down. Verse 61, the last part. When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, "Doth this offend you?" So he gave them the teaching about eating his flesh and drinking his blood. What, and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up to where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. And he said, therefore said I unto you, that no man can come after me except it were given unto him of my Father. Verse 66, from that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. In verse 67, then said Jesus unto the 12, where will ye go? Will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. We believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Okay. Spirit, soul, flesh. Now God calls back to in Psalm 149, we've been the honor to execute upon them the judgment written, this honor of all his saints, praise ye the Lord. So this is the honor that the saints have, and yet that which is being exercised by them, because though this is the honor that all the saints have, how many of them live in this power, live in this manifestation of the kingdom of God in their lives? Not many. Very, very few. Very few burn bright with the power of God in this life and in this world. Yet they have this honor. Yet they have this. This is there for them. Jesus said in John chapter 10, I came that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. So he came that we might have this, and yet people live in a substandard life though this is offered to them. See, when people see you in the realm of the Spirit, those that are on the side of the world see the light of God in you. And they know that you're one of His. And because they know that you're one of His, now the goal is to access the power of God that's in you for their purposes. So now they need to try to access it in you, and the only way they can get to that is if there's some door or some window or some something somehow open in you that then they can try to access that through. So now they have to find that. And so now they check that in the realm of the spirit. They don't check that in the realm of the natural. They check that in the realm of the spirit. So in the spirit, they can tell if you are one of his or if you're not. They can tell if there's a hole in your flesh. They can tell if there's a hole in your mind, in your soul, and they access through those. Let me give you an example. Let's go to Acts. Cool. Okay. Acts chapter 19, verse 13. Let's see here. All right. Cool. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, "We adjourn you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth." And there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jew, the chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, "Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are ye?" And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. And this was also known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus, and fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord was Jesus was magnified. And many that believed came and confessed and shewed their deeds. Many of them also, which used curious arts, brought their books together and burned them before all men, and they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. Okay. In the end, that which is in the realm of spirit is real. That which is in the realm of the natural is not. And so those that were part of the world system in that time, that were part of it, they were trying to see. In this situation here, people are always looking for power. So in the world, so they're just like, oh, okay, this has got power, this has got power, I can make a buck here, I can make a buck there. And then it's like, well, here's now a situation, they're like, oh, look, a new flavor, we'll use the name Jesus now. And they go into this situation, and in this situation, the demon is just like, look, and they're like, okay, let's try it like this. "We adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preached." And there were seven sons of Sceva, and they were doing this, and the evil spirit answered and said, "Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are ye?" Why? Because Jesus and Paul, ultimately, you know, here it is, you've got Jesus, the Son of God, Paul that's aligned with him, one of his, that's in step with what God is doing. So he's known too, because he's marked by him, he's marked by the name. And looks at these guys and like, no, I don't see that name on you, in the realm of the Spirit. And so basically he just calls their bluff, kicks their ass, sends them out, and it's like, that's it, it's done. These guys go running off, and then people realize, see, here's the thing, now in a situation like this, people there realize, wait a second, you're not just going to play with this name. This is not the lottery, this is not American Express, you don't just pull this out and use it on whatever you want to. Those that were in step with him, those that were in line with him, that bore that name, the devil understands and knows those that are his. And he also knows those that are not. And see, here's the thing, in this situation, they were allowed to carry on for a little while like that. They were using that name for their purposes, for a little window and season of time. But there comes a point when maybe the devil will call your bluff, maybe God will call your bluff. But you don't want to be in that place where you use his name but you don't belong to him. So now, what happens though with the world? When the world sees someone that's his, it sees power in you because you're connected to the source of power. So now, what the game is, because there's no life in them, is to now access the power of God that's in you. And to access the power of God that's in you, what do we say? Through your soul and through your flesh. So this is why what God is seeking to do with His people even in this time is He's like, look, get lined up for your benefit, for your walk through this life and through this world. You're not doing Him a favor, but He is glorified in you when you are walking that line. But ultimately, like, He's going to be glorified no matter what. But He is not glorified when we're just kind of trudging through life, woe is me, everything sucks, and I'm just kind of trying to survive another day. He's not glorified when the power that He's put in you is bled off by those that are part of the world, and they're using His power that's in you to power their whole thing. So what can you do? What can I do? What can I practically do about this? Well, this is where we come to a place. Well, part of it's realizing this is going on. You know, you need to realize that this is happening. And then when it's happening, you realize the places where that is coming from. But then what you do is in your thoughts and in your body, you bring yourself into alignment with what the Spirit of God is doing, so that now you no longer are drainable. You know, actually for me, not having a TV for a while has been a really cool thing. Because I didn't realize, you know, I mean, I would just, here's one thing I would do. I'd come back and I'd be like, you know, maybe getting ready for bed or something. And I'd flip it on, and it'd just be playing in the background while maybe I'm brushing my teeth or something. And you know, I'd put the news on or whatever's there. And it would just kind of be going, and that I would let that go into the air. Oh, here's an interesting news story. I'd kind of walk out and go look at it and check it. What's the game that's being played when that's going out there? Because see, when that stuff is being formulated and created, it's being presented in a particular way to have a desired effect. Just to get your mind in a particular place. So it's like if you say, here's all right, news report. Job losses increase this month. More and more people out of work. Job loss percentage is increasing. It's worse than the last month. And all of a sudden, like, oh my gosh. What about my job? Maybe this will happen to my company. Maybe this will happen to where I'm working. Maybe I'll lose.
You hear a false worry.
Yeah, you weren't even thinking about this 5 minutes ago, and now all of a sudden, where is your thoughts? Where is your mind? Where is it compared to where it was right before you turned that thing on?
It's all negative.
And see, here's the thing too. What did Jesus say about His people? Matthew chapter 6. He said, seek first the kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Did that promise go away? No. So the promise is there for His people. So now what happens is, let me give you a sensational whatever and put that in your head, if I'm part of the world system, and now what's happened? If I can just get that mind that's in you tweaked out of alignment by your free will. See, this is the thing. You've got a will. You've got to allow for it to happen. If I can just get your mind click two notches to the right, now I can start bleeding the power of God that's in you out of you, because now I have an access point where I didn't before. As long as you trusted God on His word, as long as you believe what He said, as long as you believe that He's able to do everything that He says in here, everything that the Spirit of God has revealed to you, as long as you believe that, I can't get to you. But the moment that you doubt, just like Peter walking on the ocean, the moment that you doubt and you start looking at all your surroundings and you get your eyes off Jesus, now I can access you. Now you start to sink. Now I can get my hooks into you. But as long as you're looking to Jesus, there is no way that they can. As long as your flesh is in line with Him, if your body is a living sacrifice, as long as that's there, you can't be accessed through your flesh. But if you're stuck in sin patterns and you're going over and over and over and again to this thing, now you can be accessed, because now there's an open door. So, what's the deal? So for here, for even for me, when I was thinking about that recently, I'm like, you know, it's so nice not having a TV. I mean, like, yeah, it's not that I don't, like, find out maybe what's going on in the news or whatever, but even then, like, if I do, I can read it, or I can access it in a particular way, or I can, like, okay, I wonder what's going on, I can just go check certain. I had no idea about what happened with Tiger Woods. I didn't know. I did not know. And you know what? Frankly, that whole drama, like, it's like, it didn't matter. Why does it matter?
It's gossip at the end of the day.
Yeah, so that doesn't matter to me. I didn't know about a lot of things, but you know, the thing is, it's like in the end, if there's something that's important for me to know, God has a way of getting me to know that thing. I would much rather hear what He's saying to me through the Spirit than what the world system is trying to bludgeon me with to get me to conform to whatever it's trying to push me down a particular line.
When you don't do that also, there are friends, I mean people, that will say, come on, you don't know what's going on in the world, and send you on a guilt trip.
Oh, you know, they will.
But
the world will give you a guilt trip for not being part of the world.
Sure.
If you're not part of
it. Attitude works fine.
If you are not part of the world, you get a guilt trip. You know, because from the moment you're in this, from the moment you're born, the goal of the whole system is to conform you to the world system. It puts those pressures on you from the moment. You know, what are you going to be when you're going to grow up? You know, when are you going to start a family? When are you going to do this? What's your career? What's your degree you're going to get in? Oh, what have you thought about this? Where are your kids going to go to school? Where are your kids going to get your college degree? Have you saved for your retirement? When are you going to start having grandkids? Where's your burial plot going to be? I mean, it's like you get it from cradle to grave. But in the middle of that, you know, like, stop and think for a second. Generations have come and gone. Bajillions of people have lived through this world. And in the middle of all of that, how many have really walked in the abundant life that God intended for them? Because there's a ton that haven't. And they've come, they've freaked out about things that they have no ability to control in the first place. You got here, you're here in this world, you weren't here 40 years ago, or 50 years ago, or 100 years ago, depending on how old you are when you listen to this. You weren't here before, now you're here. You're in this dimension, in this paradigm, it all belongs to God in the end. He made you, He's able to sustain you, He's able to control. You're here, and then you won't be in the near future, because we all come into this world and then we leave. So why are you worried? What are you worried about? What is it that you want to be in this world? Well, have you laid that before Him? Have you asked Him? Maybe it's something else that He's got in mind for you. Maybe it's something that actually brings you fulfillment that you wouldn't have ever thought about. You see what I'm saying? Like, people, what happens is they create their own reality that they want, that they think would work, and they don't let go of that stuff and allow God to do what He wants to. And in creating something else, by being out of alignment, say, even in their thought, now the world is accessing them. And it's just draining that power of God in them. Where what God desires to do is for you to understand this is going on, and then for your soul, click, spirit, click. So spirit's there when you walk with Him. Flesh, where, alright, put that in line. Now those three, they're lined up in direction with the Father. And from that place, now the power of God is flowing into you. Now what happens is now you start to burn bright. You start to burn bright because the power of God is now at its yeah. And now it's like, and now what happens too? They can't access you because there's no access point. Because in your flesh you're lined up with Him, in your soul your thoughts and His thoughts are becoming one, because His mind is in you that was also in Christ Jesus, and you've presented your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, this is your reasonable act of service, Romans 12. So now you're walking in that line, and now you're in a place where whatever He says you can do. And you can do it with the power of God, because it's Him now pouring you out in that direction. Not you doing something of your own power, of your own volition, but Him saying, here, I want you to go there. I want you to go to South America. When you go there, here's what you're going to do. And now you're in line in your flesh, in your soul, in your spirit, so that when you go there now, you're in a place of power. See, the kingdom of God is not a matter of, it's not all these, there's the power of God flowing through you that makes the difference, that breaks people out of bondage. It's amazing. So realize what the game is that's going on for you by the world system, and then make a willful decision. You have to make a willful decision, and you also have to be mindful of this. Well, I think one thing is, yeah, it is. You know, here, it's easy to get out of that line. And see, this is where, again, see, we all like sheep have gone astray. We're very sheepish. We have a tendency to stray. We can. But this is why, too, you have to, there's certain disciplines that you've got to put into your life. And there's certain times where you've got to make an assessment, take a stock. See, this is why when we go and we pray, when we bow our knee before God, He brings things to you. He shows you this. This is why you need to make certain disciplines like prayer, like fasting, like reading the Word. You need to make those as part and parcel of your life. Those need to be something where you stay on that track. Because those are also places where He instructs, where he shows, where He reveals. And then you walk through life like that. He flows into you in those times in a very strong way. Realize too that also with these people that are there, the way that they have access is you have to allow them. You know that whole vampire analogy, those vampire movies? There's a lot of subtleties in there that are, it's a very strong correlation with what the world does in the world system. They're all dead, they can't see the reflection, they've gone to the other side, they have to feed off of the living to be able to sustain themselves. You know, like all those kind of things, they get powers for going over onto that side, they can't be in the sunlight because then they'll die. And so it's like all those things are like correlations. But you remember that one thing about all the vampire analogies too? When they go to somebody's house, they can't go, they have to be invited inside that house in order for them to be able to go in. Like the same thing with you and I. The world system, you have to make a willful decision to invite them in. And when you invite them in, now they have access. So you make a decision. You make a decision to invite certain people, certain things, certain stuff into your life. See, I make a decision to invite a particular TV channel into my life by my free will. And now I realize the difference of not that thing not having access to me, because I don't have it there, and I'm like, you know what, maybe I don't really want a TV for a good long while. Because for me, it's like, I don't need that. What have I missed? What have I missed? I haven't missed anything there. You know, I'll catch the occasional movie when I'm out at a friend's place or over at a family's house or something like that. But I'm not missing anything there. Likewise, but you know what I am getting is I'm like now it's like there's, it's like, oh, wait a second. Yeah. You know, it's like this is now what, I can use that time, I can put that, allow my mind, I can put it on something else that's positive. That's strengthening me. If there's something that I need to be out of the way for, I need to move for, God will move me. God will show me. Now, likewise, here, Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. And verse... Yeah, sure. Acts chapter 1 and verse number 4 says, "And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, But ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost, not many days hence. And when therefore they were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Because they've been reading the news, right? Okay. And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Okay. This, the word witness, we've talked about this before, is that same word martus, which is where we get the word martyr. You will receive the power of God to put to death anything in your life that's not like Him. To be that witness, to be that what God has intended for you to be that person that shines bright with the light of God in you. You've been given that power. See, here's the thing, back to again the battle for your mind. You already have it. This honor have all the saints. You got power over kings and nobles and all of their system. You have that. You have it. You've had it all the time. Now here it talks about also, yeah, here it also talks about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which is a, it's like you have this, like, just imagine a dam. And everything is there, the power, that there's that water behind the dam. When the power of the Spirit, like, is loosed in you through the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it's like the dam gets broken and now all that water is gushing forth through you. And likewise, you have that. You just have to ask Him. He just said, look, if any man, Father giving good gifts, if somebody asks Him for the Holy Spirit, He'll give it to you. You gotta ask Him for it. You have that power to, one, to take authority over any situation and every situation, because all of that's been given to Christ. It's in Christ Jesus. You have that power. You have all authority on heaven and on earth has been given unto Him. In Him we live and move and have our being. So we have that power to put to death everything that keeps us from going in the line that God has called us into. Two, you have the power to put to death anything in your life that's not of Him. You can. It takes a free will decision. You can. We can. I can. And you have the power to obey. He's given that to us. And there is a joy that comes in walking in obedience with Him. That's where we find our joy. That's where we find our fulfillment. That's where we find the true life that God has intended for us. There's an amazing joy and an amazing destiny for the people of God. But they have to realize that there is a war also going on for them by the world system, to one, to keep you from ever understanding who you really are in Him, and two, to access that power that God has put in you for their purposes, so that you would be ineffective, inefficient, sapped of all your strength and your energy for however long you're here walking on the earth. And if they can, they'll try to take you to hell with them by your free will. But you and I make a decision to follow God. If you bring, by the power of the Spirit of God, your soul and your flesh in line with the Spirit of God and the life of God that's in you, and you allow for Him to keep you locked in that, and you work with Him on that, and you cut off the access points for the world to be able to access that life of God in you, you will shine bright. And then whatever it is that God has for you to do, you do that, because God's sending you into that as this fully charged, radioactive, to their side thing that just blows it all over. That's when you walk in Psalm 149. And with that, we run out of time, so I think we have to stop there for the evening. Yes.